Rodrigo Duterte and Lenny Robredo. They are the two highest elected officials in the land, yet their conflict is also the most ferocious in the Philippine political landscape. And there's nothing like a deadly pandemic to highlight differences in leadership styles and long-seated divisions. In episode 7 of Seat of Power, we'll tackle the dynamics between Philippine presidents and vice presidents in the context of crises. I'm P. Renada, Rappler's Malacanang reporter. For this episode, I've invited Ateneo de Manila political science professor Melay Abao to help us dissect this pressing topic.
Kaya din natin ito. Kinakaya na dapat natin ito. Napakahaba ng kasaysayan natin ng tagumpay laban sa mga hamon na tulad nito. Maaaring may mga pagkakataon na nakalimutan natin kung sino tayo. Ngayon, ipinapaalala ng isa na namang hamon at idinidiin ko kung sino talaga ang Pilipino. Bukas at matibay ang loob. Maparaan, laging iniintindi ang kapwa, lalo na sa panahon ng kagipitan.
August 24, 2020, hours before President Duterte is expected to address the nation on his government's latest efforts to manage the COVID-19 pandemic, Vice President Robredo airs a speech of her own. Wearing a fuchsia blouse, a stack of books beside her, the Vice President exudes confident femininity. She begins by saying she has just consulted experts and groups, providing stark contrast to what critics call Duterte's unscientific, top-down approach to the crisis. She enumerates her 11 recommendations in a clear manner, departing from Duterte's freewheeling, structureless speeches. Her entire message is 20 minutes long, whereas the president's remarks have often stretched to an hour. It was a showcase of the type of leadership Robredo wanted to offer. Even before that speech, her supporters already started using the hashtag #LetLenny Lead. Their message is clear. In the face of an incompetent Duterte, Robredo can fill the vacuum of leadership. Duterte was quick to react, but he made no mention of any of Robredo's proposals. He focused on what he saw was a dangerous message floated by the Vice President.
Ito namang kay Lenny that in her ending statement said that kung hindi ko daw gawin ng gobyerno, gagawin ng tao. Well, sa panahon itong pandemic, medyo desperado ang mga tao. Tapos nagdagan ninyo ng mga ganon, na wala namang kayong base, sana may makita kayo. Please do not add fuel to the fire.
He was reacting to this part of Robredo's speech.
At kung walang mamumuno, tayo mismo ang hahakbang. Tayo mismo ang magtutulungan. Tayo mismo ang bibitbit sa isa't isa. Tayo mismo ang haharap. Tayo mismo ang mangunguna. Gagampanan natin ang anumang tungkulin para daigin ang anumang pagsubok sa ngalan ng ating kapwa.
For Duterte, it doesn't matter how brilliant Robredo's ideas are. He sees her as the most powerful opposition figure and there is no way he can be seen conceding to her. Who can blame Duterte? He may outperform Robredo in popularity surveys, but the VP is young, energetic, and backed by a political machinery that was once powerful and dominant. Duterte, a political kingpin for most of his 3 decades in power, knows how fickle Philippine politics can be. But the dynamics between president and vice president were not always as fraught with tension. In fact, in post-Marcos Philippines, the president and vice president usually worked together. The vice president was almost always given a cabinet post. Doy Laurel was Cory Aquino's foreign affairs secretary. Joseph Estrada was Ramos's anti-crime czar. Gloria Arroyo was Estrada's social welfare secretary. Jejomar Binay was Noynoy Aquino's housing czar and advisor on OFW concerns. Robredo was also Duterte's housing czar, but only for 5 turbulent months. In 2019, he dared her to lead his government's drug war after she said it needed tweaking. She took on the job, but was booted out by Duterte in just 18 days.
What do you think makes the Duterte-Robredo relationship different compared to the past presidential and vice presidential dynamics?
I think two things. No? One is Duterte kasi has been questioning the legitimacy of Lenny Robredo as VP by virtue of his support for the Marcoses, right? And of course, for Bongbong Marcos's bid to to question VP Robredo's post. So that's the first. That's different. Your own president really delegitimizing you, right? And saying you're not supposed to be there. Okay? Iba yon sa conflict, say, for example, over policy. Eh? Diba? Okay. And si President Duterte has been very vocal about that right from the start. Another is, I think the other thing is also the context that the presidency and the vice presidency seem to reflect the polarization that is happening right now. Diba? Mm. Meron kang Duterte, yung tao, laban sa mga dilawan. Diba? Duterte versus... So it's embedded in this whole political discourse that was in the first place really promoted by the Duterte camp even during their election campaign, no? Even before they won the election. So I think that's very different eh, na kasama ka sa isang buong political strategy, di ba? To paint a section of society as the people's enemies. So, ko alam, iniisip ko nga ngayon parang hindi ko pa yata masyadong nakita yung ganun.
Which presidential VP tandem do you think comes closest to their level of tension?
Sige nga, remind me nga.
Well, there's Cory Doy, there's...
Cory Doy, yes, there was, diba? Pero hindi ganito. Hindi pang next, Erap.
Ramos Erap, Erap, GMA. Erap,
GMA. Yes, there was nothing like this, right? I don't think there was... that kind of tandem where the president questioned the legitimacy of the VP, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think naman VP Robredo is questioning the legitimacy of Duterte, diba?
No.
A lot of her conflicts with him are in relation to policy.
Past when vice presidents would leave the cabinet of their president.
That's usually towards the nearing of the next election.
In what ways do you think this pandemic has highlighted the differences in policy, differences in leadership styles, and maybe rivalry of Duterte and Robredo?
I think it's not limited lang to their rivalry, no? I think what's really happening is that people are seeing that there's no greater enemy than COVID. It's not the dilawan, diba? So I think now people are seeing na parang we're barking up the wrong tree. That's not the point. And people can see that President Duterte is not listening. And I think people are gravitating towards politicians, political leaders, civil society leaders who challenge Duterte's responses to this COVID. And Lenny, of course, is the most high profile of all of them, diba? And kumbaga, siyang pinaka-real political contender because yung naabot na niya na public position. Right? Yeah, so I think people are seeing and parang this is not enough. Duterte, what you're saying is not enough because we continue to get sick. People continue to die. People continue to be hungry, to be unemployed. So no matter the rhetoric, merong objective conditions are very compelling. And I think what Lenny Robredo has done is to put that into words, right? And people tend to catch to those words because there's a reality behind it. So, in other words, siguro my basic point lang, Pia, is that there are limits to propaganda. Propaganda has to be based on some reality, di ba? When Duterte started his propaganda about, you know, yung mga dilawan, meron naman yung konting objective reality kasi marami din naman talagang hindi nangyari. Nakalang mga tao mangyari, di ba? Ganon din siya ngayon, di ba? May limits din yung propaganda niya. And I think we are seeing those limits. Of course, they can always bounce back. It's part of politics. But that remains to be seen. At the moment, people don't want politics. They really want results.
Mm-hmm. Then we have Duterte going back at Robredo, and siya naman yung nagkiklaim na what Robredo is doing, being outspoken, criticizing his government, he's saying that that's politicizing, and Robredo is the one that's distracted because parang she's hell-bent on painting his administration in a bad light. Do you think this kind of messaging will catch on?
No, because what he's doing really is shooting the messenger. And as I said, the message is so compelling, eh, di ba? So people are I think, parang people want to push nga eh, Lenny or whoever to speak that way. Diba? In fact, I think, atagal na natin hinahanap yon. na may magsabi na parang, ano ba gagawin natin talaga? And to me, the sense of frustration lies in the uncertainty, in the unpredictability. Because at the time of crisis, the best governance is one that will, require, that will provide predictability. It's like, for example, you're in, say, nasa MRT ka, diba? Tumigil yung MRT. Ano ang good governance doon? Mag-a-announce lagi yung driver. Okay, it is because of an electricity problem or something. Okay? After 3 minutes, I will talk to you again. Okay? And then, when 3 minutes come, he or she will talk to us again. And then, so you know what I mean? It's like, that's what we're looking for. We're just, ang problema ni Duterte is sobrang unpredictable. Sabihin niya, wala yan, COVID na yan. Tapos maya-maya, ang laki-laki na lang. Problema na yung COVID, lockdown na tayo lahat. Sabihin niya, kayo mag-alala, marami akong pera. Tapos sabihin niya ngayon, lahat tayo pera, mangutang na tayo ng mangutang. But in other words, you cannot flip-flop at the time of crisis. Diba? And you cannot, to me, leadership is about just standing up while everyone else is falling. Diba? Eh, he speaks to that emotion na parang, wala tayong magawa eh. Tayo lang tayong vaccine. Ganyan, di ba? Ano yan? Ako, pwede ako magsabi nun. Kasi ordinary akong tao. Pero kung leader ka, huwag mo yan sabihin sa akin. You're supposed to lift us up. Not that way. And so I think Lenny Robredo's also message, I don't have evidence, no? Because I do not see the numbers. I don't know if how they are assessed, whether that's through likes or whatever. But I can sense that people resonated with her message, right? Because it was like 1, 2, 3, 4. That's what we need, diba? Because we've been here, what, how many months?
5 months.
And over,
na.
Yes. And the thing is, okay lang sa akin to be locked up, pero pag sinasabi ng mga tao, nasa ng plano, ang ibig sabihin talaga nun, sana malinaw, habang naka-lockdown kami, ano yung mga pagbabagong gagawin nila?
Do you agree with what Robredo is doing, being more outspoken, giving her own speeches about the pandemic? Do you think it's scoring political points for her?
I guess it is. But to me, what is more important is, what is she building, right? I mean, for me, kahit gaano niya kagaling magsalita, kahit gaano niya, kung wala siyang kasama, wala yon. So to me, I think Lenny Robredo should start building that movement of you know, that. Kasi ako nga pag tinatanong, ano yung naging mistake dati? Tingin ko, ang unang mistake ni Lenny Robredo was to allow the supermajority to happen. Si Duterte is very strong, not just because of the propaganda, but because his support is very institutionalized in Congress, in the Supreme Court, and very early on, di ba? Ano ba naman yung, di mo naman pinayagan na lahat ng LP pumunta doon? Di ba? Wala struggle at that time. And so parang para sa akin, that's the ano na. We cannot have that kind of very institutional support. Kasi kahit din protesta tayo ng protesta, hanggat may boboto para sa gusto niya sa Kongreso, sa Senado, walang mag-oppose, di ba? Ano talaga? We've seen this with the anti-terror law, etc., etc. So I think the task of Lenny Robredo is to build unities around the changes that we really want to see and the reforms that we want to see. That is large, of course, in 2022. And to me, if she has plans, diba? I mean, you don't really declare now kasi, diba, this is not a time to declare, diba? But you just, I don't know, show leadership. You show the possibility of leading. And I think that's her challenge now. Mukha namang, at least, if you look at the speech, it was very, yeah, I think that the message was very clear, right? That she's here na challenge. Kaya ang question na lang dyan, it will make a difference if she can sustain it. And to me, it's not about ano eh. Parang ano yan eh, parang, diba? Parang question nung, how do you stop trolls, right? You stop trolls by not talking to trolls. Not talking about what they're talking about. Kasi, meron silang, diba? So, the challenge really is to keep on talking and keep on talking about the issues and about the policies and about what's wrong, diba? Okay na nga ako na hindi na natin pag-usapan yung character ni Duterte, etc. Pero pag-usapan natin lagi yung PhilHealth.
Do you see any possibility of Duterte including Robredo in government efforts to manage the pandemic?
Yeah, do you ever think Duterte will allow you to interview him again? It's the same question, Pia. These people, they don't teach all dogs new tricks, right? I don't think it is. It's part of his political strategy. He will never do that. And if he will do that, diba yung sinama niya yun sa drug, ano? May aspeto yun na misleading eh, diba? Ayan, yung tipong offer na, sige, subukan mo kung magmamagaling ka. Ganyan eh, it's not a real offer. It's not real cooperation. So yun, I don't think he will. I don't think he will. If anything, he will delegitimize everything that Lenny Robredo will be doing or is doing. There's no evidence kasi otherwise, di ba? May evidence ka ba na may level of cooperation na gusto si Duterte? Parang wala akong makitang ganun.
Well, yun na nga, kasi before, nung 2016, di ba, he got smitten by Robredo for a while. Like, they had a phone call, and then he invited her to be housing secretary, which he said he would never do kasi parang di niya kilala, stranger, opposition. But yun, that lasted 5 months lang. So parang may little window before na parang he was willing to open the door a bit to Lenny. But that totally disappeared because, yun eh, like right now, talagang for him, parang lost cause na si Robredo sa kanya. So,
yeah. I think very early on, it's hard kasi to assail Robredo kung nanalo ka rin talaga. Diba? Ano eh, timing din yung pag-question niya. Ito sa matter of time din eh, yung pag-question na yung legitimacy ni Lenny. I mean, even directly, hindi naman niya sinasabi yun, diba? Pero alam natin yun because of his support for Bongbong Marcos. Right? Yeah. And I think Duterte really has problems with women. Diba? Diba naalala mo yon yung ano, nung naging controversial pa yan eh, yung nag-joke siya kay Lenny, tapos...
Yung short skirt.
Diba? Oo, tapos nangiti si Lenny, diba? Parang tapos na... Diba, pero kasi in the first place, how do you respond to something like that? Diba? Or I'd probably, I don't know, murahin mo, diba? Diba, put these people in their place. But that's so unacceptable. So I think maybe he really thought that he could just get anyone that way.
So Melay, last question. More of a long-term looking at the institution that is the president and vice presidency. May mga suggestions from certain quarters that if ever the constitution should be amended or anyan, we should change our political system such that we elect the president and vice president as a tandem. What do you say to these kinds of proposals?
I mean, ideally kasi they should, diba? They should work hand in hand. I mean, they should have the same platform. They should have the same because the vice president is your potential president. So, in the spirit of providing political stability, diba, that's the ideal situation. And how do you do that? Well, you can change the constitution in a parliamentary setup, for example, that becomes smooth and academic. Eh? Kasi it's a party, diba? It's the winning party that matters. And to me, actually, I would really prefer that. The thing is kasi now, yung presidential versus parliamentary debate is also reflective of how Filipinos trust people more than we trust institutions. And I think we're such in deep shit. Because we don't have institutions really, diba, that will shape the behavior of people. So, naging vicious cycle na. But I wouldn't suggest any charter change now. Any change to a charter should be a democracy project, right? The Duterte Camp's constitutional change project, it's not a democracy project. So kahit pa sabihin nilang, kahit pa may convergence tayo, mas maganda ang federalism, mas maganda ang parliamentarism, I would never support it, di ba? Because, wala, it's just going to disrupt further. It's not going to really, di ba, the reforms will not be seriously put in place.
Which, do you recall any VP, President VP tandem that for you represented the ideal in the Philippines?
Parang, I don't know if it's ideal. Parang, to me kasi ang ideal if they represent a political party. Alam mo yun? So I cannot look at any tandem as ideal because they're there just because of some, familial decisions or some political clans decisions. They're not there because of some platform. Or ano, so yeah, I don't think there's any idea until that moment when, you know, we can look to our president and our vice president and say, ay magaling ito kasi magaling yung mga partido na ano. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a party, it can be a movement, basta the point is there are institutions behind these people, and that has never happened in Philippine history. They have parties, of course, but only more for electoral purposes, not really for governance. No, well, ideal at all.
That's so sad. So sad for our country. But who knows, yeah, ba? Yeah. 2022, di ba? Magka sudden hope tayo na we actually have like a pair that will symbolize a movement or a platform that we can all trust and look forward to. So yeah. I guess that's why it's even more important that people register for 2022 elections.
Yeah. And I think the hope is really in the young leaders also. Right? Diba?
Yeah, my generation.
Young locals. Yes. Your generation. My generation has, we've missed the train. Of course, we've tried our best. Every generation tries its best naman. There's a contestation within every generation. So I guess in our generation, yung naging dominant, yung medyo problematic, diba? So I think there's definitely hope. I mean, this is what politics is all about. It's about contestation.
Thanks for listening to Seat of Power. I'm Pia Renada. Listen to Rappler's podcasts on SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts.